Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 148, I was very lucky to have Elliot Evans on. He is a holistic and creative coach. We talked about a number of things, how he got started in coaching. Basically, we also talked about the many sort of realms of how fear can prevent us actually doing things. And strangely enough, he is, how can I say, he is a Matthew McConaughey. Come on, stop. Recording in progress. Oh, I'm loving it. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 148, I am very privileged to have Elliot Evans. He is a holistic and creative coach under the age of 30. I think he is like looking at the big 3-0 and going, I don't want to go there. Don't worry. It's okay. It's okay. Elliot, how are you today?
I am fabulous. Thank you, Miwa. Like I said before we started recording, all the better for your high energy.
Hey, look, this is the thing. Like before we started this show, people, I was teasing him about his tea choice. Look, it's a very fine choice. Look, I don't know if there's people out there who like peppermint and licorice tea, but Elliot's a fan. He is a fan. Might not be a fan of licorice, but he's a fan of this tea. Yeah. I have to ask. Look, you are like a grand old age of 28. I remember it so well. And like, yeah, what got you into the realm of coaching?
Yeah, good question. Good question. Long answer. I'll try and keep it as short as possible.
Oh, it's your show, my friend. You can go around the houses if you want. It's all up to you.
Excellent. All right. Well, I will then. What got me into coaching? I have been kind of too obsessed with self-development for all of my adult life. So I hesitate to call myself an adult at the age of 18, but since about the age of 18, I've been completely obsessed with bettering myself, with self-development is too nice a name for what it was like this relentless drive to always be a better person than I was. And I feel like a lot of people, me included at the time, thought that was a very admirable thing. Like, you know, there's a real push in a lot of circles to, you know, always be better, always hustle, always strive. And typically in the coaching world, especially the coaching world of Instagram and Facebook, there is that kind of vibe given off, right? That like, you can always be more, you can always be better. And I so believed that way of living. Like I so believed in that. I drank the Kool-Aid, as they say, that it became this quite destructive obsession of mine that I was never quite happy, present, grateful for where I was.
Never quite enough, would you say?
Never quite enough. Exactly. That's actually a really succinct way of putting what it took me about 2 minutes to just say, yeah. never quite enough. Nailed it. And I was completely unaware that this was going on. You know, I just thought that I was this really ambitious go-getter, like overachiever, really proud of myself. Didn't realize that I had spent about 8 or 9 years sort of slowly eroding my physical and mental health through stress and constant anxiety that I thought I could be better. And I mean, I did some totally bonkers self-development, what would I call them? them. Fads, probably, or like lifestyle choices.
Okay.
So I'll explain like two of my favorites to look back on. They definitely weren't my favorites when I experienced them, but to look back on them. So the first one was, have you ever heard of something called the Uberman sleep schedule or polyphasic sleep? You ever heard of that?
No, I have not heard of polyphasic sleep. No. I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit curious, but I'm also concerned to ask. Here we go. What is polyphasic sleep?
Okay. Well, it kind of takes Life Warrior to a level of real unhealthiness. I only slept in 20-minute naps every 4 hours, and that was it. I just did that every...
Okay. Like, why did you do this to yourself? Come on now. It's like, no, please. Why?
At the time, one of the main things that I was trying to overcome in my relentless self-betterment was
sanity.
Yeah, I was just too sane. I was just too sane, and I wanted to really dive off the deep end into insanity.
Why?
So essentially, I always felt like I never had enough energy. I always felt like I suffered from fatigue, and I had vague insomnia, as you can imagine, the kind of person who is that anxious and that keen to achieve all the time. Sleeping was difficult. Like, sleeping was a struggle, or falling asleep was a struggle. And so I tried so many things that were a lot less extreme than this crazy sleep pattern to try and boost my energy, increase the amount of energy I had, get over my fatigue. And because I was so obsessed with achieving, it wasn't good enough for me to, I don't know, go and see a coach, go and see a therapist, go to the doctor. Eat a little bit healthier, exercise, any of the things that most sane people would consider like the next step. I was like, no, that's way too normal for me.
Okay. So you went, okay, you know what? Yeah, like I'm feeling a little bit tired. I'm feeling a little bit exhausted. Really having trouble with sleep. Okay, you know what? 20 minute naps, like every 4 hours, that's the thing for me. Okay.
I think that was the subconscious thought process. I think consciously it was more like, I'm getting a leg up on everyone else here. Like, I've read about this weird sleep pattern in some deep dark corner of the internet, and with absolutely no evidence for it and no proof for it, I'm just gonna go for it. And it was like a big gamble. It was like the risk reward was. The reward was like incredibly high. Like, I could be the most productive person on the planet, right? With all of that spare time. And I think I'd read about two or three people, this guy called Matt Mullenweg, who was the guy who started WordPress. So like a big, like now a multi-billionaire. And I heard him on a podcast talking about it. And he said that for the year that he was writing all the code to develop WordPress, he'd done this crazy sleep pattern. And I was like, well, if this guy can do it, then this guy can do it.
Okay. You know, this is the thing. Guy who founded WordPress, I would like to meet his colleagues at the time. I went, what was the standard he's coding like at the time? There were just times we were like, okay.
Leave him to it.
Just cut. Just leave him playing over there with himself. Just like, I've wrote some code today. It looks fantastic. Of course it does. But was there anything you kind of learned from doing like this crazy sleep pattern? Like, what?
Yeah.
Did you gain anything?
Okay. I did it for about a month.
Okay.
Before I was, I think my body was almost ready to give up out of pure exhaustion. What did I gain? I gained, I'd say, a couple of years of really heavy fatigue. from having deprived myself of sleep so much. So it probably took me a couple of years to fully recover.
Wow.
So that's one thing I gained or lost, you know, depends on you if you're a glass half full kind of guy or not. And what did I learn? Well, I learned that there's something magical, in my opinion, there is something magical in my consciousness about being awake when nobody else is and being quote unquote productive. And I don't like that word anymore. I find it a bit of like a destructive word now for me, for my own personality type. Productive is not a good thing for me. But when I was doing something like writing music, because that's one of my hobbies, or work at the time, I was trying to become a financial speculator, so a forex trader. When I was working on that, or I was doing one of these like tasks that I'd assigned as benefiting my future, right? This is what I was all about. If a task benefited my future or bettered me in some way,
yeah,
I was all about that. So if I was doing one of those tasks at say 3, 4, 5 in the morning, I got this like clear buzz of what I, at the time I would have called energy. Now I would call it like, I don't know, presence or mindfulness. Like I was not distracted by thought at all. I was not distracted by the day-to-day, I don't want to swear on your podcast, the day-to-day rubbish going on in my mind.
If you want to swear, please be free. As okay. I say, this episode is yours as well as mine. So yeah.
Okay. Oh. Thanks, Mima. All right. The day-to-day shit running through my head. I was just free of it for like now cut and start the whole thing again.
It's like half an hour later, so much profanity. Oh my lord. It's like, what did you do? I got up and walked away, came back 10 minutes later, he's still going.
But yeah, so like all of this rubbish, this like clutter just stopped. And obviously there's no one at 5 in the morning, no one is gonna, whether it be, I mean, I was living at my parents at the time, so it would have been, I don't know, my mom or my dog or my sister. No one can distract me or interrupt. And what I think what I learned was that 1 hour or 2 hours of that level of attention, of that quality of awareness and flow and focus is worth probably for me 2 8-hour 9-to-5 regular days. So that was kind of beautiful. And I didn't realize that at the time, but I felt for probably the first time in my life what it was like to not constantly be forcing a better version of myself or forcing myself to be productive or forcing myself to get stuff done. Mm. It was just happening. And that was only 2 hours a day. That was kind of weird euphoria that happened for 2 hours a day. The other 22 hours of the day, I was miserable. I was like, I felt rough. I just wanted to, it was like, I mean, I've obviously never been starving in the desert, but I wanted to sleep so much. I can imagine it was something like what being, you know, starving and lost in the desert or dehydrated and lost in the desert would be like if you imagine water. Like I was so delirious with fatigue. I just wanted to sleep. And so when my alarm went off for, and it was like, I can have my 20 minute nap. It was like the amount of gratitude. I was like, oh, it's here. It's finally here. And then I would have that nap and it would be like heaven on earth for my 20 minutes. It would be glorious. And it would feel like the 20 minutes would feel like, you know, hours, but I would wake up and then I would be very aware within about a minute of waking up that I had definitely only slept for 20 minutes and not hours. Like I was just instantly fatigued. And sometimes instead of being productive in that 2 hours of euphoria, I would actually go on a walk and it would be sunrise in the where I lived, and it was summer, so it was nice. And there would be again these like beautiful moments of just clarity and euphoria whilst walking around the city that I lived in the sunrise. So I think the other thing I learned was one of my favorite things to do to like reset myself is walk around a city when no one else is around. Like something about like a completely empty city, especially in the really early morning, I found so like so peaceful and so, yeah, wonderful. So yeah, I got two small wins out of it, but I think overall it was a pretty detrimental experience to my physical and mental health.
Yeah, no. Like, trust me, no. I wouldn't do that. Love money or toffee. But like, I'd say the only time I was almost got close to that was earlier this year. Like, I don't know if you know a gentleman called David Goggins.
I do.
Yes. Former Navy SEAL. Like, okay. I was doing his 4-4-48. So,
okay.
Like, 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. And it was like, yeah. I've got to say, yeah, started that bad boy. It was like, right. Started it at 12 at night. Started the run, yeah, did the 4 miles, like came back, yeah. And my thing is, because the one thing I know with things like this, sleep is one of the most important things you can get. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I would put my head down, try to get an hour, maybe 2 hours. But as it went on, and it was just like, yeah, grinding through halfway through point, like I was like literally sitting in the same outfit, which I was doing my running. I was like, okay, yeah, halfway, and I changed, and I had a shower, and that was one of the biggest mistakes I did, because it was like, yeah, it sort of took me out of that sort of, okay, you're in the trenches thing, because it was like, oh, you just had a nice hot shower, yeah, it's like really sort of just shook me out of it a little. It was like, then when I like got out, put a fresh set of clothing on, and it was like, okay, you got to go, you still got a number of runs to do. I was like, oh, yeah, fuck my life. Why did I do this to myself? But it's one of those things where like this like sort of quiet and solitude of like any city. Like in London, when you're there by yourself running early in the morning, knowing about, you might see one person, two people, like a assortment of foxes just looking at you like going, what are you doing? Why are you here? It's like going, yeah. You really sort of can get caught up in the moment. And yeah, there is sort of like, for me, there was peace in that sort of like going through a quiet city. Like I got to say, when I like did early morning running, when I was living in Cambridge, because like Cambridge compared to London, there is literally no one on the streets until around about 6 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, you'll be very lucky. So yeah, I understand that. I get that sort of like that moment of peace. But it's like doing that sort of thing where you're like going, yeah, 20 minutes of sleep every 4 hours. Oh, no. It's like, okay, the way I picture it in my head, it's like you're getting a drink of water while you're like fresh water, while you're surrounded by the sea. You can't partake in it, but you're like, okay, damn.
Do you mind if I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, go for it.
What was the purpose? What were you trying to achieve from doing the 4-4-48?
Now, basically, the reason why I did that, because I would say in the lockdown, and like this was like, yeah, this was we're halfway through second lockdown, and it was just like, yeah, I found myself getting into a little bit of a funk, and I needed something sort of out of the box and maybe a little bit of extreme to do to get me out of that sort of mindset. And doing that sort of run, like I've like been running through the whole of the lockdowns, everything like this, like doing anything from 10 to sometimes 26 miles in a run. But doing this was like, okay, take me out of that sort of funk and yeah, help me reset and sort of like go right. Also like a bit of a proof that, yeah, you know what, you are a little bit more resilient than like this circumstance is actually showing you right now. I like that works for me. I would recommend that to people, but you know what I mean, everyone's got to have what is their own sort of special source to make that happen. It might, like, for some people it might be writing, it might be photography, it might just, you know what I mean, watch a whole freaking season of Friends, who knows. But is everyone has their own thing. But for me, that's the thing, what was like, okay, yeah, bam.
Push the reset button.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish mine was watching a whole series of Friends rather than fucking sleeping for 20 minutes every 4 hours. That would have been a lot easier.
So, like, this is the thing. After your crazy sleep pattern, like, fun and games, like, what would you say there? What is now your sort of thing to sort of reset your ban, would you say?
Waiting. So that sounds quite obtuse, but waiting, if I find myself in any state that doesn't feel like on a sensations level, doesn't feel right, or there's something amiss. So let's say, you know, I've got tension in my body or physical sensations of anxiety, like a tight chest and shallow breathing. That's anything in the sort of chest, tummy area, that's where I tend to feel most of my anxiety, anger, fear, sadness. That's where most of it goes on. Mm. And so and especially this is the one that happens the most, actually, if I'm working at something. So never when I'm in a coaching conversation. Interestingly, when I'm in a coaching conversation, I am always so chill. It's crazy. That the reason I think I love coaching so much is, from a selfish perspective, that is one of my reset buttons, getting in a conversation either like this or where I'm, you know, where I'm the one asking the questions. Like, that properly zens me out like nothing else. So I'm very grateful for that, that my job, you know, what earns me a living also is my reset. That's thumbs up. But when I'm doing like the admin side of coaching, or if I find myself doing the business side of some of it, so for example, something as simple as trying to find podcasts to be on, mm-hmm. right? I will quite often find that I start hunching my back a bit, my heart's beating a bit fast, like I'm breathing a bit shallow. And I think up until maybe a couple of years ago, I would have thought, like, okay, that's a good sign. That means I'm a little bit stressed and I'm going to get a lot of work done. And, you know, this is good. Just keep going. This means it's important to you. And what I realized now is that and any other physical symptom of anxiety or depression or stress, whatever,